Hey there, folks. We're back in the vestry. Welcome back to the Semi-Seminary, the only podcast that combines theological depth, spiritual honesty, and, well, occasionally, the dad joke about camels fitting through the eye of needles. I'm your host, Pastor Jim. I'm not quite a seminary professor, not quite a monk, but fully committed to figuring out this faith thing in real time right alongside you. Today's episode, When God Ghosts You, The Silence of God, and What to Do About It. Yes, friends, we're diving into those moments when heaven feels like it's turned on, do not disturb. You're praying, journaling, throwing worship playlists to the wall, and still nada. I'll see you on the other side. So we had a resource fair at the Cushing Marketplace on Friday, and one of the vendors or the participants that was going to table there at the event, they no-showed, and I did have two others decline. They weren't going to be able to make it, but at least they contacted me and let me know. This particular organization, I won't mention who they are, ghosted me full on, like, I confirmed face-to-face that they were going to be there, handed them the information sheet, sent out the day before email to remind them, day of, nothing. Their table just sat there empty. And I was telling this to some of the volunteers. And one of them, older than I was, goes, what's ghosting? And I'm like, well, I'm now old enough that it was be hard for me to explain it. But like, just in like usually in a digital way, just ignore you exist. Just you don't ever respond to them. And that got me to thinking about, and then I got to thinking about another thing about phones and stuff like, I call it the blue bubble anxiety. I don't know. Maybe I've got an iPhone. Maybe if you have an Android or text green, or are they blue as well? I don't know. Anyone have an Android phone? When you text to each, you can change the colors. Okay. So for iPhone, okay, well, then I'm going to go with blue, I almost said blue bubble anxiety. And there's actually kind of two parts to blue bubble anxiety, and you've all experienced them, okay? The one is you've texted somebody, and you are waiting for their response, and then you don't get it. Now, some people have the read receipt on, and some people don't. So sometimes you can tell, I know you've read the message. Yeah. I know you just read the message. No bubbles, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, none. So it's kind of like ghosting, right? Like, what is up? Then here's one. Carrie had this one the other day that I thought was great because she had texted somebody a question, a request of some point, right? And her anticipated response was going to be what she thought the response would be, just either a yes or a no. But then the bubbles came on and they stayed on and they stayed on. And you're like, it doesn't take that many bubbles to type, sure. It doesn't take that many bubbles to type, nope. So she was like, oh no, this is a long message. This is not what I expected. In return, blue bubble anxiety, ghosting, right? Now I want to take that and I want to talk about tonight, is right, we're in church. What happens when God ghosts us? Tonight's discussion is the silence of God and what to do about it. Now, we've definitely all been there with our phones, but let's also be honest about this. We've all been there when we've had spiritual blue bubble anxiety. You texted God. You're waiting, no read receipt, no bubbles, and then all of a sudden the devil starts whispering quietly in your ear. Maybe he's mad at you. Yeah. Maybe you didn't fast long enough. Maybe that one time you skipped Leviticus is finally catching up with you. And you feel ghosted by the divine. And here's what makes it even worse when we talk about spiritual ghosting. God, I didn't use like the Holy Ghost. That wouldn't work. But in church culture, in the church world, so often we equate silence with spiritual failure. Because so often we have been brought up to believe in the faith that God, if God isn't just busting down doors for you left and right and speaking audibly to you every morning in the shower, that somehow, we're doing something wrong. And we feel ghosted by God. But let's look at the Bible as we're wont to do. And one of the things I think is super cool is the Bible is full of people yelling, God, where are you? And what's funny about it is those people aren't often minor characters in the Bible that you don't really know about. They're heavy hitters. Let me just throw out three real quick. We have David, right? Let's talk about David. David is the original emo psalmist, right? Very moody, very emotional. You know, a lot of it, right? Very melodramatic. Right. There's no doubt about it. And when we look at very briefly the story of David's life, we have kind of an understanding maybe where that melodrama came from. Right. Because most of us that have grown up around the Bible probably know that David had periods of his time where he clearly walked in the favor of God. And there were times where he deliberately went off road. Right. And completely bailed on his responsibilities to God as a man and as a king of the people of God. And a lot of those psalms are actually written in his lament for those shortcomings, right? So David has a bit of a pass when it comes to his melodrama in the psalms, because David lived very much on the edge between God's overflowing power and absolutely breaking the heart of God. And in Psalm 13, verse 1, an example of this emotion, David says, how long, Lord, how long will you forget me forever? And David is out here turning his quiet time, right, into like a Coldplay album. But he's raw and he's honest and he's not afraid to offend God with his honesty. Let's look at another one. Job, right? Most of us know the story of Job. Job was the patron saint of pain. And if you know the story, you might recall Job didn't do anything to ask for the things that happened to him, including the death of his children. And Job was just out here trying to be a devout man of God, and his entire life and everything he valued was stripped away. And yet at Job 30 and 20, even though he's hurt, he's still praying. I cry to you, God. Cry to you, but you do not answer me. Job is the gold medalist of the Suffering Olympics. What's wild about Job is, should be an encouraging lesson to each one of us, Job never stops talking to God, even when he's mad. One more. Another cat you guys might have heard of. A guy named Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, that Jesus. Mark 15 and 34 records these words of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus had a moment where he felt like he had been ghosted by God. And that happened on the cross. Now, why does God go silent? We definitely see it happens. We all acknowledge that we have felt it in our own lives and our spiritual journeys before. Why? Why does it feel this way sometimes? Well, let me give a couple of reasons that I think are good reasons to consider. The first one is this. Silence is a test, not a punishment. Silence from God almost all the time is a test of something inside of you. Not because God has decided all of a sudden you're bad and he doesn't want to talk to you anymore. God has not blocked you on his phone. Deuteronomy 8 and 2 says this. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years? And then it explains why. To humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. In the New Testament, we find another lesson about why does God go quiet. Silence often will invite spiritual maturity in us. The writer of Hebrews is comparing the word of God as food to actual food, right? And we give age-appropriate food to our infants, to our toddlers, and to our adults. And he talks about solid food in 5 and 14. He says, solid food is for the mature whom by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish the difference between good and evil. And the third thing, silence causes us, slows us down to reflect. David, writing again, 139th Psalm, very famous verses, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. God's silence can often cause us to dig deeper in ourselves about what's ultimately required of us in this relationship between God and ourselves. I also want to mention this as well. And I think this is super important. Please, friends, remember that God's silence does not, underscore, does not equal God's absence. Silence does not mean that you have been abandoned. Remember, Jesus felt it too. David lived agonizingly through it. And Job flat out endured it. Psalm 13 ends with this, but, in other words, no matter what my present circumstance, no matter where we are in our relationship, God, no matter what sins I am confessing and atoning for, I will trust in your unfailing love. Faith continues to knock, even when the door seems bolted shut. So, you're not broken. You're not abandoned. And you're not a bad Christian. You're in the middle of a very biblical, very human experience. Remember that silence is a season, not a sentence. So keep praying, keep trusting, keep leaning in. And maybe, like I'd mentioned, silence, the ghosting of God, isn't a punishment. Maybe it's the hush right before your breakthrough. Amen? Amen. A little short tonight. Sorry about that. Well, that's all for today here on the Semi-Seminarian. Until next time, keep asking questions, keep showing up, stay semi-sanctified and fully caffeinated. Peace.